It is Ryer on YouTube, and it is aftermath in the wake of the Alabama Crimson Tide's 30-14 win over the Vanderbilt Commodores. Alabama 2-0 on the season, where SEC play is concerned. Perfect after two games. And a couple of games that after that Florida State opener, you wondered exactly what that record might look like, but Alabama still very much in the early stages of an absolute gauntlet that started with that win at Georgia a week ago tonight. Next week, you go to Como, take on a capable Missouri team, one that can absolutely run the football with Ahmad Hardy and those backs. But right now, you're just relishing. You're celebrating Alabama's win over a chatty Vandy football team that made its way down I-65, filled with confidence. Diego Pavia, Cedric Alexander. I thought it was important to go out and take care of business in this game, because once you get to the point where you got opposing quarterbacks and running backs consistently talking that talk about your football team, you got to shut that up, man. This wasn't linebacker. I mean, Tommy Castellanos, quarterback, Florida State. Diego Pavia, he's a tough dude, man. Tough dude. Big fan of Diego Pavia. But it wasn't just even Diego. I mean, you had Alexander, the running back. And look, early on, it looked like both those guys were going to back it up, because both of them had explosive runs in the first quarter. Two runs between the two that totaled 101 yards. And Alabama, a couple of different times in that first half, it was perilous, I would say. They were in peril. But man, when you got to halftime and you look up and the scoreboard's 14-14, when it easily could have been 21-7, I guess a couple different ways you could look at that. Maybe you weren't feeling overly confident at that point, especially on the heels of a year ago up in Nashville, because Diego Pavia is one of these guys you've absolutely got to knock out. And we haven't seen, hadn't seen Alabama do it in a couple of meetings, but Crimson Tide got it done, cleaned things up against the run, made Diego and offensive coordinator Tim Beck feel like they had to win the game more through the air. But Alabama was a lot better against the run starting in the second quarter. The explosive runs went away. You did get hit with a couple shovel passes that you knew after last year's matchup were going to be coming, but sort of took care of that in the second half, too. Very impressive performance. Give it up to Kane Womack in this defense, because after that first quarter, felt too much like some other performances we've seen from this Alabama defense over the last 17 or 18 games, but got it right. And especially without Quay Rousall, without James Smith there in the first half, as he sat out that targeting suspension from the Georgia game. Yonezi Pierre, I thought, was really good again, especially in the position you had him in, going against this kind of offense where there's a lot of zone and you got to be disciplined with your eyes. Justin Jefferson, with a huge performance, forces the fumble that keeps it from really being a discouraging start for Alabama and its fan base, to creating that takeaway. Another takeaway from the Alabama defense, really had a couple of three more. Lost the Zay Mincy interception there in the fourth quarter to the defensive holding call. I still haven't figured out, I guess, exactly who that was on. I guess I could, because the white hat said number 14, and I was still trying to figure out maybe exactly who that was, but regardless, Alabama gets it done. Team effort, I really felt like it. I know Connor Talty had the missed field goal, but the three that you needed him to make, they were bittersweet, because against a team like Diego and Vanderbilt, too many red zone-ish field goals, it feels like they're going to get you beat. That type of team, that type of quarterback, usually if you leave them around long enough, they make you pay. But the Alabama defense did the job. Alabama offense did too in the second half. Converted 6 of 10 between third and fourth down opportunities. So stayed on the field. I thought that showed up later. Alabama, you wanted more run game. What about Jam Miller? Jam Miller with a Saban era like performance, 20 plus carries for an Alabama running back under Kalen DeBoer. Now, last year, you had the quarterback eating into those carries. But there is certainly the opportunity this year for a back of an upper echelon caliber to be able to take on more work. Boy, I thought Jam, to me, you could just see felt more comfortable, more decisive maybe. Probably felt like he could trust that injury a little bit more. It was still kind of a feeling out process for him in some ways last week. But whether it was carrying the football, also in pass protection, he did a nice job, I thought, in this game on Saturday against Vanderbilt. So kudos to Jam Miller. Kudos to the defense. Yancey Pierre, DeJohn Lee needs to be on the field. He is Alabama's best force defender from the cornerback position. I don't think it's particularly close at this point. That being said, I thought Xavien Brown did do some nice things. But Lee had the big pass breakup there at the pylon. I guess that was in the second quarter. I don't know if it prevented Vanderbilt from ultimately scoring, but Pavia definitely went at him in man coverage, a little hitch and go. And Lee, you know, I asked the question during the game last week, actually, how much has Alabama's corners really improved? On X, I asked that question because it was a little rough for Jackson and Brown at times in Athens. I can say unequivocally, without question, DeJohn Lee has improved since Florida State. And so the true freshman continues to be a big-time revelation for this defense. So we're going to get to your comments. Yeah, Alan Preston chiming in here. We're going to get to you. We're allowing everybody to get in. Alan checking in. How you doing, Alan? Sully. 462. Alan says, welcome to the season, Keon Sab. Yeah, how about that big play? Massive. You know, at some point, you knew, especially in the second half, and as Vandy got into that red zone with that opportunity, that's his guy. That's Diego's guy. And Kane Womack and the Alabama defense knew it pretty good, too. And you know, that's a situation where we've seen players for Alabama, instead of playing their box, playing their responsibility, maybe their eyes betray them a little bit. Keon's one of those guys that it's happened to in the past. But you watch that interception unfold, and he is keying exactly what he is supposed to key, which takes him to the interception by simply doing his job. He ends up making the big play. Sully 462 chiming in, says Ty was trying too hard to make something at times, and he got him some trouble a few times. At least he didn't seem to ever get routed. I don't disagree with that. It did feel like sometimes Ty felt like he had to do a little bit much. I will say this, you like it when it works, right? And that was a big conversion there in the fourth quarter when he's working to the Alabama sideline and he hangs onto the ball and he hangs onto the ball and then he hits Isaiah Horton. That was a huge play there that helped Alabama eventually get that 9-point lead and take the clock with it. Alan Preston chiming in here as well. Let me see. I'm working this scroll here. Says, jam, collarbone, be damned. Yeah, that's kind of the way I saw it too, Alan. As I said just a few minutes ago, it seemed like a more comfortable, as you would think. I mean, it's a tough situation. Your first game of the season, and it would have been tough against Florida State, but, you know, assuming he's healthy against Florida State, that's an easier situation. I just think the maturity he brings and, you know, you see him on some of the runs that require patience, just a maturity. No doubt about it. And, you know, I thought there were times, look, last week, a lot of the times it worked for Ryan Grubb. Ryan Grubb stayed aggressive. And you heard Kalen DeBoer talk about it. We got to stay aggressive. Ryan was fully in his bag once again. Now, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes what you go for it on a third down and five, and you shift to a wildcat with Jeremy Bernard and take the ball out of the hands of a quarterback who had been pretty damn hot on third downs. And so it doesn't work. And I'm sure the thinking there for Ryan Grubb on that third and five is we're not going to lose like 2 or 3 yards. If nothing else, we're going to pick up a couple yards and I'm still going to go for this on fourth down. It didn't play out that way. Had to kick the field goal. But again, give Talty credit for going in there and making kicks that he should make. 30, 30, 38, he should make those. Once you start getting beyond 45 out towards 50, they could go any which way. It's in the NFL as much. Kickback chiming in. Bama played more zone tonight. They were synced up in their zone coverages, it seemed like, right? You didn't see, and it wasn't so much zone last week on the sort of slant and go for the touchdown to Colby Young, but they seemed to be where they needed to be. They seemed to be synced nicely. Complimentary football. It's a little bit up and down. I thought in the second half it was more what you want. That's how you close out good teams. And Vanderbilt's a good team. I'm telling you. I thought Vanderbilt reaffirmed its status today in Tuscaloosa as a legitimate tough out in the Southeastern Conference. You think Texas right now wants to play Vanderbilt? I wouldn't think so. But yeah, the eyes were good. I thought the eyes were really good, not just in terms of the back end and playing zone, but again, Yonezy Pierre, some of those guys that get put in some conflict on a snap-by-snap basis against an offense like the one Vandy employs, for the most part, they were what they needed to be. And red zone defense, man. I mean, that's everything. Keon Sabb's interception, the forced fumble of Pavia that you take away. And even when Alabama got scored on in the red zone, it worked out. Even when Alabama wasn't good defensively in the red zone. This was a situation where after Vandy got that first and goal there with about a minute 40 to go in the second quarter, and Alabama's out of timeouts. And you're thinking, boy, Vandy, if they just run the football here 3 times and get in, there's going to be nothing. Well, Vandy actually scoring helped Alabama because there was 1:33 left on the second quarter clock. And boy, Ty in the offense. 5 for 5, Ty. I know, look, I think we're going to talk about it here in a minute as Kickback right here chimes back in. Says Ty went 23 of 31, 340, 2 TDs, 1 pick. Still on track for Heisman consideration, no doubt. I mean, this wasn't a game where you could win the Heisman, but it was a game where you could lose it. I mean, it's going to be tough. It was tough enough for Diego Pavia as a quarterback at Vanderbilt to really have his hat squarely in the ring. I think it was going into today. And if he had been able to Manziel this thing a little bit better than he did, he would have been all the talk this upcoming week. No, Ty's absolutely still in it. But I don't even think it's a Heisman thing with Ty. I think it's, you're playing, that's the fine line when you have a quarterback on a heater like this. You start thinking, and understandably so, that there's no window too tight. There's no play that you should give up on. I mean, we've seen it with Alabama quarterbacks in the past. Tua was notorious for not giving up on plays. I mean, that's how really the hip injury happened at Mississippi State. The guy just would not give up on plays, still doesn't probably enough. And so Ty's playing at a high level, and you want him to feel like he's that guy. But there are things that can go sideways on you. He did have the pick. I didn't even mind the fourth down call there to take a shot on fourth and short. Talked about this on Spaces on X at halftime. The probably the biggest issue with it was that you had kind of gone against tendencies, maybe not even your own tendencies, but just general tendencies in terms of situational football. Grubb was so aggressive and so not by the book against Georgia in some instances that you got the feeling that Vanderbilt's defensive staff going to this game and says, look, fourth and one, any situation where the tendency would be to do this, we need to be on alert for Alabama to go against whatever general tendency that is for football, offensive football. And so when they took the shot on first down, give Vanderbilt a lot of credit, in good position. Worked out for Alabama, at least momentarily, that Vandy actually intercepted the football. I mean, if they knock it down right there, that's the worst case. So, some things that didn't go right for Alabama, like the interception, like the end of the first half where Vandy goes in to take the 7-point lead, actually worked out pretty well for Alabama, even if it wasn't by design. What else you got tonight, right? Brian Kane checking in. 6-0 says hats off to Kalen DeBoer for managing the clock so brilliantly. That's the thing about this team against SEC competition the last couple of weeks, right? They've pretty much finished the game on offense. They did enough on offense in both those games. They did finish it on offense at Georgia. And then did it again pretty much with the field goal drive against Vanderbilt today and ran the ball well enough between Jam Miller and Kevin Riley. And that really is kind of a two-back thing right now. It was largely Jam against Vanderbilt, but, Riley's still in there doing some good things. They did. I thought it was second half again. It was more complimentary football. Second quarter wasn't that middle of the second quarter to the halftime. That wasn't good complimentary football because, you offensively didn't deliver. The punt was terrible. Put Vanderbilt on the short field. You can't force Vanderbilt to a field goal. So that wasn't ideal. But other than that, once you got into the second half, it played out probably about like you would have hoped. Yeah. RK says almost flipped time of possession from last year's game. Time of possession, Alabama 37-23, Vanderbilt 22-37. Yeah. Yeah. What you like in this game, though, really, and that works too. And a lot of that had to do with the second half, and especially that last drive or so on offense. But, that turnover margin plus two, that these were two of the better teams or best teams in the SEC where turnover margin is concerned. So to be plus two was huge. And then also on fourth downs to be 2 of 3. Vanderbilt was 0 for 1. Vanderbilt in the second half was 2 for 7 between third and fourth down plays. Alabama, I believe between thirds and fourths were 6 of 10. Everything else pretty close. I mean, Pavia threw for 198. He only averaged 5.5 per attempt, whereas Ty, in throwing for 340 on 31 attempts, averaged nearly 11. So he nearly doubled. Alabama and Simpson nearly doubled Pavia, and that's what you kind of anticipated happening. I don't think what a lot of people, including myself, would have thought was that Alabama would actually outrush Vanderbilt by 11 yards, and it played out that way. Now, Vanderbilt had the two explosives, those two runs for 101 yards in the first quarter. After that, Vanderbilt ran for, I think, 34 yards for the rest of the game, and Alabama sustained it better over the course of the game, which led to Alabama ultimately being able to control some of those statistics. What about Alabama too? You wonder how far back or how much research these coaches and analysts do. You saw some Tennessee from Alabama's offense today, didn't you? See those wide splits? That touchdown pass to Jeremy Bernard was one of a couple there in the first half where Alabama went with the wide, wide splits and kind of the switch releases with the stacked receivers. Yeah, Alabama fans have seen that. You saw that going back to even the Heupel's first year when Tennessee came in to Tuscaloosa and kind of lit it up there for a while with some of that stuff with those wide splits and those switch releases, and definitely saw it in 2022. But yeah, that was interesting to kind of, you know, get a feel for exactly how much research these guys do with these vast staffs. Again, defensively for Alabama, Justin Jefferson, 14 tackles. He had a sack there in the fourth quarter, really closed up nicely on Diego Pavia, and had that big force fumble. You know, I don't know if he's the SEC Defensive Player of the Week, but he's damn sure going to get and should get a lot of mention for it. Deontay Lawson with four total tackles. Tackles for loss, just two for Alabama. But you got a variety of pass breakups too. Don't want to discount the performance of the Deontay Lawsons and the Dejon Lees that we talked about. Xavier Brown had two pass breakups in the game. Sab had a pass breakup to go along with that big interception of Pavia. So just really good stuff all the way around for the Alabama defense after that first quarter. What else you got for me, gang? Let's see here. Get back to the comments. Sully here. I wish Grubb would stop with the cutesy plays like when he had Jeremy behind center. Yeah, we talked about that. Where I would have liked that better, and it's all hindsight. You know, that's what I said earlier. When Grubb's in his bag and it's working, everybody's laughing and, oh, this is awesome, you know. But when it doesn't work on third and five, then, you know, it's obviously. But where I would have been better with that, with Bernard in the Wildcat, is after you hit the explosive to Ryan Williams, who, by the way, looked pretty damn good today, didn't he? Other than kind of running the route short on the fourth down, I didn't mind that play call either. The execution just wasn't great. I know Ryan didn't come up with that, but he didn't get enough depth. That was about the only thing from him all day that you probably didn't like what you saw from number two. But I would have been okay with the Wildcat to Bernard if you do that after the deep ball that you hit. That was a beauty to Ryan Williams. Before that, you know, if you want to go tempo there, run up and just snap the ball to Bernard, see if you can get 4 or 5 yards. Because this offense, and Kalen talked about this in the post game too, it's built in a way it can overcome some third and eights, third and nines, third and tens. But a couple of three times today, if not more, they got into some of these first and 20, second and 20s, had a couple holding penalties, one on Dewberry, one on Brailsford there in the first half. You know, Ty can be better than he was today. Maybe as we talked about earlier, trying to hit the home run a little too much. You know, he took one sack. It looked like he had Jam Miller for the check down. Would have been a nice little pickup to get yourself in position to convert a possession play. But, yeah, they can overcome third and eight a lot with Quavis and the screen game and everything else. But I'm sure they're going to talk about this week. Too many second, first and 20, second and 20s, those type of things. But I would have been okay with Bernard, maybe more on a first down play than a third and five with what we saw. TP chiming in. Thoughts on Ryan Williams? Does appear he has the fundamentals of catching mastered. He traps the ball against his pads instead of using his hands. Well, there's sometimes you actually do want to body catch the ball. And, it, you know, you see it more kind of, you know, on you know, crossing routes. When I say body catch, I'm still saying hand placement is important on those. You know, if you got your hands like this trying to catch the ball in your body, that's not going to work. If you got your thumbs down and you're bringing it into your body, that's probably going to be okay. So maybe there are instances where that could be a little bit better for Ryan. But it's not always the same. You know, it kind of depends on you know, the route and the ball position. Big Frank, I would like to see other running backs now that were getting some push up front. Well, I mean, if your first back is going for 136 in a tutty on 22 carries, and he's really good in pass protection, might be hard to get away from him too much. Of course, I'm talking about Jam Miller. Jam, with a performance today that yeah, you just keep them out there. DeMarc talking about that. Yeah, that was part of that sequence, wasn't it? The option. Well, actually, this was a different sequence. You had the option, and then you had the zone read that Ty kept. Yeah, that wasn't a good one too. That wasn't a good one too for the offense. I agree. And I look. You know, part of that, what you don't know a lot of times is, okay, yeah, the play call is one thing, but they've got more and more confidence in Ty. They're giving him more. And so he's reading that stuff too, you know. And the thing about the option, though, is typically teams that run it once every three games don't usually run it well. And I'm talking about just the 2-3 part. I'm not talking about reading the mesh and then pulling, then getting out in the corner and either keeping or pitching. Even just keeping or pitching, teams don't do that all that well. And I like Ty as a runner. Ty, man, what I liked about Ty's feet today were the two throws, one to his right on the touchdown to Williams, and another, I think, to Jeremy there in maybe the third quarter, where going to his left. He got his feet in strike position and ripped one. And he ripped that ball to Ryan, too. That's what I like about Ty's feet. I think Ty, as I've said before, after the Florida State game, I know there's still this, well, he was a dual threat coming out. He's not a dual threat. He can run, and he can run very effectively, but he's not a dual threat in the way that you're going to dial up 10 or 12 design runs for him a game. SK, field goal attempts beyond 30. No, we go 1/4. Yeah. You know, the longer one today from Talty missed a little bit wide right, but this offense is capable of scoring enough and capitalizing enough that you probably shouldn't need him much more than on the shorter ones. And I don't like red zone field goals at all. And when you kick three of them, if you told me going into this game, Alabama's going to kick three red zone-ish field goals, I would have said, Because I wouldn't have thought Vandy would turn the football over in the red zone as much, but they did. You know, Pavia doesn't fumble. He fumbled today. Then he throws a pick to Sab. So all the credit to the Alabama defense. Speaking of which, Deborah Ferguson. What did you think about the defense today, Travis? I thought after the first quarter they were championship caliber. And I haven't said that. I really haven't said that about this defense in the Kalen DeBoer era. They just looked synced up and they were rotating and playing a lot of people. I'm sure Kane Womack thought his guys were at this point. Going into the season, and then you go to Tallahassee and you find out you're not. But, you know, going through that, it probably made those guys better for it. I don't think a loss is ever worth that, though. You know, that's that to me is what ULM is for the next week, and Wisconsin is the week after that. And then let's find out if we're ready going to Georgia to kind of take that approach. But there's no arguing that the explosive runs are nails on a chalkboard because you got people just not executing, not fitting. And that's why I think Dejon Lee, if you're going to count on a corner to kind of be that force defender or almost like a safety against some of these runs into the boundary, you better have a cat that can really do it. Sully says we needed a Proctor run. Yeah, we just need a pass now. Kalen said after the game that the run today, our buddy Chase Goodbread, talking side right here on Ryer on YouTube, asked Kalen about it post game. And Kalen said the run had been in there for a shorter period of time than the pass. Apparently the pass play is still in there for Caden Proctor. Give the big man credit, man, because he kind of got hit right there at the line of scrimmage. Olas Alenin in there at left tackle. Little split backfield. Split backfield for that play was Proctor at left halfback and Jeremy Bernard at the other back. Yeah, just like you would have thought, right? Just like you would have thought. Donald Andrews, best defensive performance under Womack, I think. I'd have a hard time arguing with you. I might be able to come up with one. You know, I thought there were times last season where for a half, you know, they got the job done. And then they couldn't quite sustain it. I thought after the first quarter, they took care of business. Monday, why a mean guy. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean guy. He's chiming in, Tom Sawyer. Best day for Bama linebackers, Tom Sawyer exclaims in all caps here. And what feels like years, great adjustments from Kane this evening. You know, look. It could be that the plan didn't need a lot of tweaking. You just busted some things in the first quarter. And then once your guys sort of self-policed or whatever, maybe Kane did do some different things. I mean, they did mix in some man, maybe some more zone as it went along. But, Justin Jefferson, maybe it's clicking for JJ right now. JM12 Green said Ryan Williams had a nice catch on the sideline with the sun kind of in his face. I mean, look, 6 for 98 and a touchdown on 7 targets. He did his thing tonight. He did his thing today. Jeremy Bernard, 5 for 82. Isaiah Horton working those sort of, you know, those sideline routes, which you would think he would be effective with that size. Josh Cuevas, 3 catches, 35 yards. Cuevas, too, I mean, you like it when your tight end catches it and they pretty much all go for first downs. That wasn't the case on all of them today, but two of his three for Josh Cuevas, his catches went for first downs. Lottie Brooks only targeted a couple times, but one of those was that 30-yarder. Backs weren't as involved in the passing game. I thought the screen game might get ramped up a little bit in the second half. Hit one of them for a first down and 10 yards to Kevin Riley. But pretty good ball distribution, I'd say, today from Ty Simpson in this Alabama offense. Let's see here. Let's see. A little bit off topic here. DMark24 asking about Texas for the rest of the season. It's rough. It's rough right now. I thought the little bit I saw of it, Arch actually showed some very encouraging signs, especially later in that game when everybody knew Texas had to throw it. He did some of his very best work and got himself out of trouble a couple of times and just did a good job with that. Smoked pork chop. Where's Goodbread watching reruns of BJ and the Bear? Man, y'all leave Goodbread alone. He's grinding away in that Bryant Denny Stadium presser right now. He's putting together that column for you. SK says Bama offense looks best in 2 minutes. That's because they're a very confident group right now. You know, and it's all phases of it. It's protection. It's continuity between the play caller and the quarterback is feeling it. And he is very much in sync with his receivers, not just one or two either. You get the sense right now, Ty feels like there's four or five guys. That makes it very hard to defend. That's why it was huge for Alabama. If you're going to give up the points there at the end of the first half, better to give it up with 133 than 23. Because then you give it up, you get no possession. Vandy gets the ball out, coming out. And it was big for Alabama to come out to start that second half and get a stop. Right? How big does that Kelby Collins transfer look now? Yeah, you know, I was going to say that ties into that first stop, right, of the third quarter. Made a nice play there. Pavia wanted to run and were able to get him on the ground short, force that fourth down punt. Felt like Alabama got back on serve from that point forward. Getting that stop to start the third quarter, you know, they turned it over on the first possession, immediately gave up seven, felt like they got a little bit off serve. But then, you know, that first red zone turnover by Pavia was huge to help in that regard too. But, you know, I wondered with Quay Rousseau out, Jamarian Latham out, I was kind of conflicted about, well, against Pavia in this offense, because you got to be able to play in space, you got to move laterally, you know, those type of things. How much would they miss really some size at Wolf? Pierre's perfect for playing Vandy, in my opinion. He's long, twitched up, and if his eyes are right, he's going to make it tough on that offense in Pavia. And I thought that was the case for much of the day. So I think with or without Rousseau, Pierre might have been more the key today. But you still got to have a physical presence there on the edge. Alabama starting in the second quarter set an edge. And then that sort of started that run of pretty good defensive play through the rest of the first half. But I like Collins and guys like him, because if you do start to run low, and in pass rush situations, you can use Deontay out there. You know, you can bring one of those inside linebackers in some pass rush too. But I was more concerned about rundowns and how you were going to hold up. But it was good to see Collins. He was obviously a big part of the plan this week. David said Ty Simpson is doing what Arch Manning was supposed to be doing this year. Oh, to this point, yep, that's been Ty. I felt going into the season, I felt better about Ty than I did the defense. I said that on Talking Tide back in the preseason. And, you know, the last, was it four games? He's been that guy, Ty, Tysman. Kickback says everything looks synced up, but special teams. Yeah, Talty's three field goals were big. I like that he consistently puts the ball through the end zone on kickoffs. They gave up that was a big play too, speaking of special teams. They gave up the return there in the fourth quarter, but then you got the personal foul on Vanderbilt trailing the play. That was helpful because you were down there in good shape and should have had your guy inside maybe even the 15 or 20 for sure. And he ends up getting leverage on you. And so didn't really finish that. Dowd had the really rough punt there in the second quarter. Good news is you didn't really need him all that much, right? I mean, what did Dowd do? He had that one punt. It's the 30-yarder. Lottie Brooks. First couple of returns, you thought, maybe he's going to hit this thing. But that didn't really produce for you. And again, Talty missed from 47. But that doesn't freak me out like it does a lot of people. I just, unless it's a proven guy, I don't assume anything from beyond 45 with a lot of these guys. I do assume that inside 38, 35, you're going to make those or should make them. That should be assumed. Anything else, gang, before we get out of here? Como coming up. You ever been to Como? Went to Como 2020. Remember, that was the 2020 season opener because of COVID. And it was all conference play in 2020. Went out there with Mac Jones. And that offense kind of made an early statement out there. Eli Drinkwitz, man, he's got it going on. The Missouri fans probably liked seeing Florida win today because Billy Napier's back on his BS. He's got Dallas Wilson. Have you seen this guy, the true freshman wide receiver for the Gators? Dallas Wilson's probably going to do for Billy Napier what DJ Lagway did last year. And the Florida fans, man, it's killing them. But don't sleep on Mizzou. Speaking of which, you might, because it's the early kickoff next Saturday. It's a 11 a.m. kickoff, which I think is a good thing for Alabama. I always think, and I know a lot of people do, if you're the visiting team, you can get out there and get under some, you know, the crowd stuff and all that. You don't have to sit around all day in a hotel. You just get to wake up and go play. I think that's a good thing. Donald Andrews says, I live 2 hours from Como. How about that, Donald? When we went out there, the wife and I went out there in 2020, we did a night in St. Louis, drove up to St. Louis, and it was COVID baseball. So you had the Braves and the Cardinals there in downtown St. Louis. And I rented a room. I think it's the Hilton. It's the big hotel out there in center field, St. Louis. I got us a room. And from where we were at, there was no crowds really at the damn baseball game. So the stadium, we're up in center field, 30 floors up, able to kind of look down and see the baseball game. It was a day night doubleheader on a Friday or something. And there's no one in the stadium, just surreal. And it was surreal at Faroe Field that Saturday too. Just weird, weird deal. SK says morning practice pays off. Yeah, you know, it's not the worst thing when you practice in the morning like Alabama does. Might be a little earlier in kickoff, but hey, it's kind of on that same wavelength when you're going to play that early 11 a.m. game. David, 266 pounds. Are you talking about Caden Proctor, 366 pound running back? Yeah, we talked about Caden earlier. It's a lot of fun catching up here on a Saturday night. It's a little lighter, right, after Alabama takes care of business over a very pesky and capable bunch of Commodores. 30-17, Alabama gets the job done. Here on Ryer on YouTube, we are planning to have second watch tomorrow morning, Sunday morning here on the channel. So if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all the content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you would give us a like, a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. Sunday night, as you know, that's Talking Tide. So that's Chase Goodbread and myself. Chase Goodbread, columnist, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News, will join me. Talk about all things Alabama, Vanderbilt. We'll get his perspective on the Crimson Tide's latest performance. And then we just roll into the week. And the next thing you know, it's game day all over again. Donald Andrews said tickets in Como for next week are $250. I can see it. It's not a 100,000 seat stadium. I know they've continued to expand it. They're still expanding it. But yeah, it's going to be a big deal. Absolute big deal. Smoke Pork Chop says the Ticket Man had a great weekend. If you know, you know, on this show, we talk about the Ticket Man on this station. We talk about it a lot with Goodbread on Talking Tide. Absolutely. Ticket Man going into this weekend had no idea he was going to probably have as good a weekend as he had. Had a better weekend, Johnny Manziel, maybe, in Tuscaloosa. Ticket Man did. All right, folks, enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, your college football. You got Miami, Florida State. You got Mississippi State, A&M. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Crimson Tide talk right here on Ryer on YouTube. Have a great, safe evening. Until next time, so long, everybody.